Let's turn to page 15 and 16, because this is where you really start to eliminate stuff. Who here has read all about 80-20 rules, the Pareto principle? Yeah? All read the books? Yeah? You know all about it, don't you? Tell me about the 80-20 rule. Come on, start me off. Come on, have a go. You coach me. 80-20, what's it all about?
80% of your income comes from 20% of your clients.
Okay, carry on. Any more rules from 80-20? Andy? Because it applies to the whole universe, 80-20 rule, of life.
Well, it has to be Dr. Beecham.
Go on.
Who eliminated, he realised his sums on the railway network, 40-odd years ago, realised that 80% of his profits came from 20% of the track miles. So he eliminated all the non-profitable track miles and managed to destroy British Rail profits in the process. Because everyone out in the country then bought cars, and having got cars, they decided they didn't need to use trains at all.
Right. Other 80-20 rules in life, in your life. Okay, so let's stop blaming everybody else, talk about you. 80-20 rules in your life. What are the 80-20 rules going on in your life? All over your life. Exactly. And we need 40, 60, really, at least. All right. More rules. Come on, give me more 80-20 life rules. This is a universal principle.
You waste 80% of it.
Sorry?
You waste 80% of it.
You do?
You do about 20 that's worthwhile.
Tell me about worthwhile. What does worthwhile mean?
For me, it's family, health, the right clients.
Okay.
Stop there. That's it. If you could just do more of those things.
What do they do if you get them right? To you?
You feel fantastic. It's worthwhile. That's why I'm here. That's what I want to do. All the rest can go.
Okay. Andy, sorry, I stopped you. Life rules where 80-20 applies, and it applies to everything. So give me some 80-20 things in your life that you think exist.
80% of pleasure from 20% of the sweets you eat.
Do you know what? That is so profound. 80% of your happiness comes from 20% of the things that you do. In fact, it's probably more like 10-90. 90% of your happiness probably comes from about 10% of the things that you do with your life and the time that you spend. 80% of your happiness with relationships come from probably 20% of the overall people that you have relationships with. Probably less. 80% of your fulfillment comes from 20% of the things that you choose to do with your week. Isn't it crazy? You then have to ask, what the heck am I doing all the other stuff? What a good question that is. 80% of our happiness comes from 20% of the things that we do. Makes you wonder, what am I doing all this other stuff for? What a great question. Which is why I take just one day out of seven to ensure this is where my happiness starts. Just one out of seven. To me, starts to redress the balance. It's crazy. If that's the case, why are you all sitting there with 80% of your business delivering 20% of the good stuff and 80% of the rubbish? That's the challenge we've got, isn't it? Why is it all getting in the way? Have a look at the left-hand side of the top box, source. Clients, activities, team, things it's going to produce. The outcomes on the right-hand side. Happiness, profit, aspiration, fulfillment, growth, wisdom, peace. Life is so imbalanced. Here's a question. How do you know which of your clients are delivering the highest profit to your business? Who could show me tomorrow morning which of their clients are delivering the profits and value to their business? The top 20%. How's that, Catherine?
Because somebody spent an awful lot of time analysing everything and putting it into spreadsheets and analysed the spreadsheets and figured out exactly what it means.
What does that then tell you when you've got those spreadsheets in front of you? What does it tell you about what you need to do? What message is it giving you?
It tells me that there's less than 20% of people generating 80% of my revenue. And it shows me exactly who I should not be wasting any time on or should be changing the service agreement with them.
Yeah. If I were to ask you 2 months ago about that detail, where was it?
There was nothing put together. I could have hazarded a guess, but they certainly wouldn't have come out with very interesting facts that I've now got.
Okay, let me see a show of hands again. Who's done the analysis? Really interesting. Small business, 80% of your time is either marginal or a complete and utter waste of your life. And we're not actually sure which 80% it is. That is quite painful.
Personally, I don't think it's that straightforward because if you are a small business, it's nice to have extra people working for you on these tasks, which they can do, but it's the cost involved as well, sort of chicken and egg situation, really.
Or is it any government?
Yeah. So we end up making conditions because of things that we find nice, okay, not essential, but it's nice to have, where we invest in staff who then create a fixed cost overhead, and then we take on people in order to fund that fixed overhead. That really is questionable whether we should take them on in one of the places. We could turn that around, Steve, and say this. Supposing you replicated the 20% of clients that really are worth keeping. Supposing you were able to quickly, over a period of 3 to 5 years, replace all the dross with the top 20% replicates, clones of the top 20%. That would make more sense to then carry that overhead of staff. Supposing I said to you, staff are banned, staff are illegal, you now have to pay 40% NI on staff, okay, and you decided to outsource. Could you outsource all of that work?
I'm trying to think of the jobs which I can't outsource at the moment, like salary reviews, contracts of employment. I could outsource that particular one. Some elements of the regulatory side of things, like your TCF stuff. Possibly a few others, but...
Yeah. Here's a rule of thumb. If you can't outsource, you don't know what you're doing. The procedure doesn't work. It is haphazard and ill thought through. If you can't outsource, your procedure doesn't work, it's haphazard and ill thought through. Outsourcing demands that the procedure is so slick, well organised and crisply communicated that anybody could walk in with intelligence and do it who kind of understood that job. And we all get ourselves into that situation. And then we take on this overhead, which means we've got to get all these clients and we get all the cash flow coming in and we end up with the 28th. And I keep thinking, I've done that. Why am I doing that? Why don't I stop playing 20-80 and just mimic the 20% and then I have a choice whether to keep this overhead or not. So you and I have created these conditions where we have to get the dross just to cover the overhead that we've chosen to recruit. It's all a bit weird, isn't it? We just get into this condition and trap. We're running around recruiting people to deal with people we actually don't want to deal with. How does that work? Isn't it weird? Doesn't make sense. It doesn't free us, creates jobs, but you know what? Without you, they get a job somewhere else. It's really weird. We just create very strange conditions with people we actually don't want to deal with. So the message from that is, do your analysis. I had met with a very, very bright guy, Simon, down south. I sat with him in Watergate Bay, and I've told this story before, but I love this story, and it was the most beautiful meeting in business I've ever had in my life. Watergate Bay in Cornwall, with surfing waves pounding on. Jamie Oliver restaurant above us, It was stunning. It was October and it was a day like this, and we set out in our shirt sleeves in October, and I thought, I could move down here tomorrow morning, take the whole family, move lock, stock and barrel, sit here in Watergate Bay forever, sitting and looking at the surf. Delightful meeting. Simon, I realised, was a seriously bright guy, and I thought, what's he need me for? But there were things that he didn't understand about business. He'd been an employee, a very, very clever employee, as a fund manager, working internationally in the Middle East and Far East and Asia Pacific for years and years and years. Seven children. You can do that when you've got nannies and nursemaids. With every job you get a free nanny and a nursemaid and a chauffeur and free holidays anywhere I like in the world with the whole family. That was the kind of job he had. Seriously bright young man and a very, very likeable human being. And he adores his family, adores them. I said, Simon, tell me about where your clients come from. He said, well, and why did you become an IFA? Well, to be free. To be free. And then I said, Simon, you're better than this. I looked him in the face. Come on, you're a fund manager. You are seriously bright at analysis. I want to see an analysis on my desk in 2 weeks' time of the following subjects in your business. 1 week later, the analysis, and it scared the life out of me. It was so sophisticated with graphs and... I asked him, where do your clients come from? And he said, there, there, and there. And he was totally wrong. Totally wrong. He was running around five counties getting clients. I then said, where does 80% of your assets under management and recurrent revenue come from? And it worked out they all came from one county. Cool. You're spending 80% of your time running around four counties where 80% of your recurrent revenue comes from one. Simon, come on, man, you're brighter than this. He then made a business decision. I will never again travel outside of Cornwall to win a new client. Period. So his niche marketing strategy was following criteria in Cornwall. He said, this is magic. I don't need to travel anymore. But I like travelling, so occasionally I go anyway. He was wrong. I then said, tell me about who you really love dealing with. I got a lot of widows. Prove it. Did the analysis. Totally wrong. Tell me about the age group. Got that wrong as well. His age group was 58 to 72. That's where the bump was for his revenue. 58 to 72. He never again will speak to a 56-year-old. Just not interested. 58, 72, right, that's it. Analysis, 80-20. Please do it. You will save years of your life. Let's turn the page. Page 16. This is where Peter and I start fighting. This is Peter Lisney, my marketing consultant. We get to 50 cuffs on this one. Okay, it's seriously aggressive with each other. Okay, I'm passionate about this page. We're still on elimination. It is a medical fact that the following three things are true. This is what I have on my side against fighting with Peter. When your mind is interrupted as a human being, the following things happen. When you're in the middle of a task and you're interrupted, your IQ level measurably drops by as much as 40%. I'll repeat that. When you're in the middle of a task and you are interrupted, your IQ level drops measurably by as much as 40%. Secondly, when you're in the middle of a task, particularly a sophisticated and difficult one like financial planning, and you're interrupted, it takes you between 5 and 25 minutes to get back to the quality of thinking that you were at before. Between 5 and 25 minutes to return to the quality of thinking you were at before. If it's not already on the page, I'd write that down. What that means is every time you allow yourself to be interrupted, you chunk out 40% of your intellect and 25 minutes of your life. Every single time.
That's why you don't give out your mobile phone number, isn't it?
Exactly why I don't give out my mobile phone number. Okay, unless you picked it up, which you can't have done because I've literally just got rid of my phone. and Wendy got me a new mobile phone number that only she knows. You will never reach me when I'm mobile. Never. I do not want to be interrupted when I'm thinking. The result of my thinking is the quality of what I deliver to my clients. That's the outcome. And it's too important to me to allow you to interrupt me, or anybody to interrupt me. The outcome of your lives hangs on my ability to persuade you to change your lives. The outcome of your lives hangs on my ability to persuade you to change your lives. Therefore, I will not let you interrupt me as I'm thinking about that, or anybody interrupt me, because the outcome is too serious. I have a whole bunch of people around me dependent upon my quality of thinking. Let's talk about information. We're currently in the most over-communicated society that humanity has ever produced. See, the brain, I've studied this in reading and on the internet elsewhere, has this capacity. It's amazing. See these little air things here? They are both a boon and a curse. They're a boon because they try and mimic your ears. And I tell you what you do and you don't know what you're doing. Here's what you do. When you're facing me, as you're doing today, your ears start to beam towards me. And the background noise, listen to the air conditioning, listen to it now. Can you hear it? What you don't realize is happening is your brain zones that out in order to listen to me. And you can walk out of here and I'll ask you, was the air conditioning on? And apart from feeling the temperature, you wouldn't know because you didn't hear it. This tries to mimic that. It is very complicated. And here's what happens. If I'm staring at you really hard when you're talking to me, it's because I can hear him better than I can hear you, until this decides to zone him out. So I'll be looking at you, going, what are you saying? I'm reading your lips, because I can hear Fred and I can't hear you. In a crowded room, I can hear the person on the furthest wall better than the person next to me, until this starts to zone them out and zone you in. But I have to face you to zone you in. Okay, literally I have to laser beam you, because if I don't, if I'm over here, I can't hear you. You can whisper to me, I can't hear a word you're saying. Isn't that amazing? What the brain does when it gets masses of information is it starts to sift it. It catches it and says, right, not interested in that, not interested in that. That is amazing, I'll have some of that. Not interested in that, not. And it does it superbly, like these do it. Catches it. All this stuff throwing at you. Planes, lorries, advertising, workshops. Who here reads the trade press each week? Who here reads more than one magazine of trade press? Who here reads the newspapers each week, each day? Who here watches news on television each week, each day? 95%+ of it is a total waste of your life. You can't do anything about it, has no impact on you directly, doesn't affect your business, doesn't affect your happiness. And you're just digesting information. Tell you what your brain does in this over-information, particularly on the internet, and on mobiles and on texting and everything else, it starts to sound to the brain like a fire alarm going off, and another one, 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 and in the end, it literally cannot cope, and it starts to shut down. And it doesn't get selective, it literally starts to deselect everything, and it simply is not designed to cope with 10 fire alarms going off. You just can't tell what's going on. gets to a stage where it literally starts to shut down, and your IQ level drops dramatically, and your ability to concentrate on a task dissipates into thin air like vapour, and you become an incredibly ineffective and efficient being. You just don't function well. You're a wreck. So, I'm going to make a suggestion. I'd like you to try going on a 1 month information-free diet. Okay? Just stop it. Because it makes a blind bit of difference to your life whatsoever. Just cut it out. Who here is a day trader on the stock market? Who here is a stockbroker trained and qualified? What the heck are you doing reading about fund performance for? What can you do about it? Nothing. You set a long-term strategy, tell your clients, please stop thinking short-term, please think 3 years plus if you're ever going to go on the stock market. Then you send them quarterly statements. What the heck's that for? Can't do anything about it. And you read the fund press in the magazines. Oh, what's going on? Scandia. What for? You don't want to do anything about it. Because you're on a 3 to 5 year plan with your client. You may change to cash here and there, but you haven't a clue what you're doing. You're not trained and qualified. It's just a total waste of time. You're information overloaded and you can't function properly and you're wasting your life. So try going on a 1 month information free diet. Maybe read one magazine a month. Forget the news. What do you care if there's a new speaker in the House of Commons? What's it got to do with you? Hello? Anybody got an uncle in the House of Commons? I mean, what's it got to do with you? How does that affect your business?
Because it set the rules that we, the government, that we work
on. You can do nothing about it.
I know, but we have to conform.
What for? How's it going to affect? How's the new speaker going to affect you buying 2 days a week free? It's not. Just isn't. Has nothing to do with you whatsoever. It's irrelevant. Has nothing to do with your life. I bet you've read about it. I bet you've watched something about it on TV. I bet you listened to Radio 4 and heard about it on the news. I bet you have. What for? Total waste of your time. Stop the information overload, stop the interruptions, and create a condition in your life where you stop being interrupted, because it destroys your ability to run your business. So tell me how I stop being interrupted in my business life. How do I do that?
Don't read your emails every 2 minutes.
Yeah. When do I read my emails? What's the rule?
Before 10?
No.
Lunchtime?
If you pick up my phone and call me, what does it say about the times you can reach me on the phone?
Half past 9.
1 to 2, and 4:30 to 5:30. Other than that, Sam and I look at the phone and go, mm-hmm, and carry on with our work. Who here answers the phone when it rings? Why? Why? Because it might be another client. It might be another £500,000 fund. To heck it is. But it might be a 1% chance it might be. Well, if that's the condition you set, it might be. But why don't you change the conditions and create a condition whereby you control the interruptions so that you can think better and get through the task. Who here has written a book? Let me tell you about the pain of writing a book. It is a nightmare. What do you think I do at 9 o'clock in the morning when I'm writing a book? What do you think happens?
Do anything other than writing the book. Any excuses. Check your emails, do anything. Avoid it.
But eventually you realise you have to write the book. So at 9 o'clock in the morning, I am sitting there and my stomach feels like I have diarrhoea. It actually creates a bad stomach. I'm so frightened. because I'm sitting in front of this screen and it's got a page on it and there's nothing on it. And my editor is expecting me to come out with something intelligent that is interesting to read. And I've got to create it, and there's 250 pages, 60,000 words, and I have no clue what I'm going to say next. It is petrifying. Speaking to Heidi Swinton, who's an American author and film writer, film script writer, and she's on an autobiography of a global leader at the moment who's commissioned her to write his autobiography. Deadline. She's got a huge task of a job, she's got children, grandchildren. She has to write a book. She will never read the book once she's written it. Why? Because she hates it by the time she's finished. Every author hates their book by the time they're finished. Disgusted with it. Never want to see it ever again. She's never read her scripts. She's never watched her films. She's never watched her plays or listened to her spoken oratories. Because by the time you finish, you can't take it anymore. But I tell you what writing a book does. You have to see the task through uninterrupted, and you cannot afford a single interruption because it just blows the plot right out of your mind. And authors know all about seeing the task through. 3 hours a day, robotic, 9 o'clock, diddly biddly biddly biddly, 12 o'clock, lunch. Next morning, 3 hours a day, 9 o'clock, diddly biddly biddly, 12 o'clock, lunch. For 6 months to a year. And the beauty about being an author, it really teaches you, cannot be interrupting that time, because your quality of thinking has to be brilliant. Otherwise, you've got no readership. And my suggestion to you is, you need to learn, as business leaders, to have that quality of thinking, to see a task through from beginning to end without allowing yourself to be interrupted. Quality thinking. See a task through from beginning to end. Spoke to a lady down in Newbury Tuesday, and I said, could you stop reading your emails at 8:30 in the morning? She said, no. And she was serious. And everybody started laughing. And then they looked at her, and she wasn't joking. She said, I'm addicted. I have to open my emails. I've got to. And everybody's going, why? I said, leave her alone. She's actually addicted. She's not kidding. She's in trouble. She's information addicted. Who here watches soaps, any soap at all? I don't. Okay? Information addiction. They write the soap so that there's never an end, so that you've got to watch the next week. Agreed? And you know it. And you still can't keep off it. You're all information junkies. You're hooked. And it is destroying your lives. And it's another reason why your time is consumed and you're not free. Go on an information diet for a month. Try it, see what happens. Eliminate interruptions. Okay, I want you 5 minutes to read page 17 and 18 as a team, and then set some interruption conditions on page 19 as a team. Go. Talk to each other, confer, read 17, 18, and then write in 19 to write some information conditions. Well, I'm going to stop you now, because and I know you're well into this. I can just see it. Here's the reason I'm stopping you, because as you're talking and I'm observing you, it is clear to me that you're understanding the principle of conditioning. And what you're trying to do is, I can see you trying to set high-level conditions, not action plans and to-do lists. That tells me, they've got it. Now, it doesn't mean you shouldn't finish the exercise. You should finish the exercise with your team back at base. Let's just summarise what's happened this morning. Four things have happened. One, I've spent 50% of our day on 30% of the pages. And the reason why is because I think this 30% of the pages are mission critical. If they don't get this, then the afternoon will be a struggle. Secondly, we're going to be going, because of that, faster and faster in the afternoon, and there'll be very little of me in comparison to this morning. Be far more of you, because you've got it. I could see you getting the principle of conditions, not to-do lists and actions. Next, I want you to remember for the rest of the day, rule destruction. You're now starting to get rid of this rule set that's been in your mind for so many years and realise, this is silly. I could break through this and start to be free now whilst I can enjoy it and I'm healthy and still have the cash flow to support me when I'm not healthy. Next, we talked about elimination, and I think you're beginning to see there are some things I need to get out of my life, including people and activities that really don't matter that much. That does demand of you as business leaders, all of you, that you do, as Catherine has done, your analysis. Do your analysis, otherwise you're guessing, and if you're as bright as Simon, you'll still guess wrong. And you'll spend the rest of your life guessing wrong about where you should be focusing your precious, finite, mortal life, which you get one shot at, and guys, that's it. So these years are precious. Don't waste them on stuff that doesn't matter. And finally, we've decided, you know what? I get far too interrupted. People interrupt my quality of thinking, planning, and leadership. I've got to stop that happening. And therefore, you're starting to set these conditions where you eliminate information overload and interruption, including technology, which is brilliant at interrupting you. Beep, 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 bloop, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. It's brilliant at interrupting you if you let it.